All right, we're approaching that time of year where the year on the calendar changes. Thursday is January 1st, 2009. You know, there are certain things associated with the new year. I used to work with a guy that every new year, New Year's Day, he would have black-eyed peas and cornbread every year. He invited me over one year. I said, you know, I think I'll pass. But every year, black-eyed peas, he'd put ham in it and have cornbread, and that was his tradition for the new year. Of course, a lot of people will be watching college football games on New Year's Day and different bowl games. I told some of you a story. Helen gave me a story about a guy that took his girlfriend to a football game for the very first time. And she was watching the game, and afterwards he said, well, how did you like the football game? And she said, well, I mean, it was okay, but I can't understand why everybody was so excited about a quarter. And he said to her, he said, excited about a quarter? What do you mean? She said, well, I saw them out there at the beginning of the game. They were flipping a quarter, and one team got it. And then the rest of the game, all I heard was, get the quarterback, get the quarterback, get the quarterback. And she said, wow, it was only 25 cents. What's the big deal? But a lot of people on Thursday will be watching football games. And, you know, a lot of you ladies will go to the other room and do something else while the football games are going on. Of course, we'll be, if you haven't already got one, you'll be getting a new calendar to start the year. You might do like I do several times as the year starts. They'll put 2008 on your checks and have to, you know, scratch out the 8 and put the 9 on it. And one of the things that, at least according to the news people, that a lot of people are getting away from is New Year's resolutions, things that you want to do. And I was reading the paper a couple days ago, and they were saying that a lot less of us are making resolutions. And you know, it used to be that everybody made a resolution or two. But they pointed out that most of us break them by the 15th of January, and we've just decided since we break them by the 15th of January, we won't set any New Year's resolutions. And I found that sad, because I think everybody ought to at least make one or two New Year's resolutions. Everybody needs to have some goals. Everybody needs to have some objectives that they want to accomplish in the coming year, some things they want to change, some things they want to improve, some things they want in their life to get better. And I would submit to you this morning that goals and objectives and resolutions, whatever you want to call them, are biblical. Because the Bible is full of people that had goals, that worked toward those goals and achieved those goals. I mean, you go back to the book of Genesis. Noah had a goal. He had an objective. It was given to him by God. God said to Noah, I want you to build this ark. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood, and I want you to build this big boat. And God gave him the dimensions and told him what to make it out of. And Noah, for the next 100 years, had an objective. It was to get the ark done. And every day he got up, he thought about it, he went and worked on it, and he stayed at it steady until he got the boat built, until he had his objective met. Moses had a goal. I mean, for 40 years, he was trying to get the people of Israel to the promised land. And every day he got up, that goal was in front of him. And every day they went a little bit further toward that goal. And you say, preacher, didn't they wander around? Yes, they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. But every day during that 40 years, Moses had that goal in front of him. I got to get God's people to the land that he's prepared for them. Again, that was a goal given to him by God. God came to Noah and said, I want you to build the ark. God came to Moses and said, I want you to lead my people to the land that I've prepared for them. But there were other people in the Bible that had goals that weren't given to them by God, but once they made them known to God, God was pleased with them and blessed the goal that they set. For example, David had a goal to build the temple. I mean, he said, why should I dwell in a house and God still dwell in a tent, in a tabernacle? Don't worry about it. The wind is blowing shingles around. So if you hear strange noises, that's just more shingles that are coming off the roof. So don't get scared. If anything happens, follow me. I'll lead the way out. David's goal wasn't given to him by God. God didn't come to David and said, David, I want you to build me a temple. In fact, when David went to and told God what he wanted to do, God said, no, I don't want you to do it. You can get ready for it. And David spent the rest of his life gathering up materials for the temple, but his son Solomon would actually get to build it. But he had that goal that he wanted to accomplish to please God. Same thing with Nehemiah. God did not come to Nehemiah and say, Nehemiah, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and build rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah heard about the strait that the people of Jerusalem were in because they had no wall, because they were defenseless. And Nehemiah had that desire of his heart, say, I want to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And God blessed that desire, and God opened up doors for Nehemiah to go back and accomplish that goal. Even Jesus had a goal when he came to earth. He came to earth and he said, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. And every day that Jesus lived on this earth, that was his objective. I want to do today what would please God. I want to do today what would be pleasing to my Father. We talked about in the primary class this morning about Jesus getting baptized. And I told the two little boys that I have in my class, I said, Jesus did that to please the Father. In fact, after he came up out of the water, a dove came down from heaven and a voice spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I used that story, that event, that historical event of Jesus getting baptized and God being pleased with it to teach the two little boys that we ought to try to please God. And we ought to try to please our parents. I said, when you please your parents, they're happy. And when they're happy, you're happy. And when you don't please your parents, they're mad. And when you're mad, they're mad, you're sad. And the same thing, right, Angie? You got to back that up at home now. And the same thing is true with God. When we please God, God is happy and blesses us. And when we disobey God and not please God, he doesn't get mad, but the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he wants us to try to please him. And our objective ought to be, just like Jesus, to try to live our life in such a way that if God would speak to heaven about us, or when we get to heaven and see him, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've pleased me in the way that you've lived. So Jesus had a goal. And the Apostle Paul had a goal. He said in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had an objective. He said, I've got a mark out in front of me. I got a prize out in front of me. I am striving. I've forgotten what's happened in the past. I'm not being distracted by what's happened in the past. Hang on a minute. Oh, it got away. I was going to kill it. There's a little bug over there, but it flew. So it's somewhere. And Paul said, I'm forgetting what's happened in the past. I'm pressing toward that mark. I want to reach that goal that God has put out before me. And in those verses from Philippians, there's three things that you ought to keep in mind that will help you set your resolutions and your goals for 2009. And again, I believe we follow biblical examples when we set goals for ourselves for the coming year. And again, tonight I'm going to tell you how to keep those goals. I'm just going to give you some practical things from the Bible about how to keep your resolutions beyond January the 15th. But I want to talk to you this morning about how to set those goals. Number one, just three quick points. Number one, realize there's always something in your life that can be improved. There's always something in your life that can be made better. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not where I want to be yet. I'm not where God wants me to be yet. There's something in my life that needs to change. There's something in my life that needs to improve. And if all of us were honest with ourselves, we could say that same thing. I mean, here we are over here in our life, and we know, Kevin, stand up over there for me, just right there. Just right there in front. And we know that God wants us to move in that direction. I mean, the Bible tells me, hey, God wants me over here to where Kevin is. He wants me to be right here where he is. But I'm way over here. Now, if I say, well, I'm okay where I am, I have no motivation to move in that direction. I have nothing that will move me toward where Kevin is. But if I say like Paul, well, I'm right here, God tells me I need to be over there, I'm going to set my goal to move in that direction. And every single one, thanks Kevin, every single one of us ought to have areas in our life where we look at where we are, we look at where God wants us to be from the Bible, and we say, hey, there is one or two areas of my life, or just one, there's one area of my life where I need to improve. I need to get better. With God's help, I need to move in that direction and be more of what God wants me to be. And in doing that, please God more than I am today. Now, tonight, we'll talk about, you know, maybe you shouldn't try to do this in 1 year, because people set big goals and they get discouraged. And again, we'll talk about that tonight. What I want to talk about this morning is, look at your life. Hold it up against what the Bible says. I think it says in the book of James, you know, that if we go to the Bible and we see something in the Bible and it convicts us and then we walk away from it, we're as foolish as a person that goes and looks in a mirror, see that their hair is all messed up, and just walks away without fixing it. Martha and I were complaining as we came in this morning. The hair, wind messed our hair up. But that's what the Bible says. If you go to a mirror and you see something wrong with your appearance, and if you don't fix it, the Bible says you're foolish. And in the same way, when we realize in our life there's something that could be better, that needs to be changed, that would be more pleasing to God, and we walk away from it and we don't do it, we're foolish because God has used that to convict us of what he wants us to do. So realize, number one, there's always something that could be made better. There's always something that could be changed that would please God more. Number two, get a picture in your mind of what that is. Kevin, stand up again, would you? So here I am over here. Here's where I need to be, over there. Now, I need to get a picture in my mind. Like Paul says, I have a mark. I have a prize that I'm pressing toward. And he had that pictured in his mind and in his heart. And every day he got up, he thought about it. In the same way, if there's something in my life that needs to be changed, that needs to be improved, that needs to get better, I need to picture it in my mind and keep that picture in my mind so that when I get up every day, I can think about it. Now, this is a bad example. I get up every day and I picture, I want to be just like Kevin. Oh, no, no, no. I love you, brother, but that's not it. No, but you get my point. You get my point. I mean, get a picture in your mind. Maybe it's not being exactly what Kevin is like, but it's getting to where Kevin is right now. And I need to get that picture, that goal, fixed in my mind so that I can think about it and I can keep it in mind so that I know what I'm aiming for. Okay, thank you, sir. So we need to get a picture of where God wants us to go. We read from Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. If there is no vision, if you have no goal, if you have no objective, the Bible says you perish. And I would just tell you, I think one of the reasons that we have a lot of older people in this church that are still young is that they have goals and objectives and pictures in their mind of what they want to achieve. And in keeping those things in their mind and reaching toward them, they stay young. I mean, they age in years, but they stay young in their attitude, in their outlook toward life. I believe this verse, that when a person reaches the point in their life when they say, I have nothing more I want to do, I have no place else I want to go, I have no other thing I want to achieve, they die. They die. And so every single one of us, regardless of how old we are, ought to have a prize, a mark that we're pressing toward that says, this is where God, this is where I need to get to so that I can please God more. So we all need to have a goal. We all need to have a vision, a prize before us. And then number three, we need to have a desire to make progress, a desire to move forward, a desire to grow. I believe that desire is God-given. I believe that God gives to each of us that desire once we've fixed that goal in our mind, once we've pictured that prize in our mind, God gives us that desire to achieve it, to reach it. Think of a little baby. You know, looking back, some of us might like to take our teenagers and make them babies again. But that's not how it works. Babies grow, and we want them to grow. And if they don't grow, there's something wrong with them. If they don't grow, if they don't change, well, you know what, I'm not changed that way, but, you know, if they don't grow and get bigger, we take them to the doctor because there's something wrong. It is natural for a little baby to grow. It is natural for a person to grow. It is natural. It's God-given for a person to have goals and to reach them. In fact, God commands us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God does not want us to stand still. He does not want us to be satisfied with where we are now. He gives us a desire to want to please him. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But God wants us to keep moving. We sang about it this morning. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We sang about it in the other song, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And God wants us to move to different spots in our life and different areas of our life so that we'll grow. And that's what pleases him. I mean, when Jesus got baptized and God said from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, it was because Jesus was moving forward in God's plan to save mankind. I mean, John didn't want to baptize him, and Jesus said, no, John, just be obedient because this is what needs to be done. This is the next step that needs to be taken as he started his earthly ministry, to be baptized, to set the example for us. It was pleasing to God, and the desire to build the ark came to Noah because it came from God. And the desire that Moses had that to lead the people to the promised land. Why did he do that? Why did Noah build the ark? Because they wanted to please God. They wanted to obey God. Why did David want to build the temple? Because he wanted to please God. And when God said, no, David, you can't build it, David said, okay, I'm going to gather up all the things that my son will need to build it. And in doing that, he did it to please God. When Nehemiah went and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, why did he do it? Because he wanted to please God. Why did Paul say, I've got that mark in front of me, I've got that goal set in front of me, and I'm striving toward it, I'm pressing toward that mark? Because he wanted to please God. And every single one of us, as we think about 2009, and we think about areas in our life, or maybe in the life of our family, or in the life of our church, you know, we're going to have some goals. I ask Adam and Chantel, you know, we always have a theme for the year, and I ask them to give me some suggestions for 2009. And one of them they gave me was, get a spine in 09. I said, I can't use that. And then they said, resign in 09. No, we're not going to use that. So our theme for 09 is going to be shine in 09. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine in 09. And as a church, we're going to have some goals for 09. Why? Because as we set those goals and work toward those goals and reach those goals, it'll please God. And the same thing is true in each of our lives as individuals. We got to look at our life. We got to look at the life of our family, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. Set some goals for yourself. Set some goals for your family. We're going to set some goals as a church. Why? So we can please God. We can please God. You know, one of the first ways to please God is to get saved. I mean, if you talked about the goals that God had for us as individuals, one of the goals that would be on the list of every single person is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. And I think the Sunday before the new year would be a wonderful Sunday, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, to do it. Because you can start 2009 as, like Teresa played in our offertory a moment ago, as a member of the family of God. As a member of the family of God. You can get into God's family. You can be one of his children. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you just need to know that you're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin. The penalty, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. It's separation from God. But when Jesus went to the cross, he paid that penalty. He paid what we owe. And all we have to do, I was going over with the boys again in Sunday school this morning, all we have to do is come and ask him to be our Savior. Receive him, and he'll save us. Simple as that. Simple as that. I'm glad he made it simple so I can talk to little boys that are 4 and 5 and 6 years old, and they can understand it. I'm glad that God didn't make it hard so you need a PhD to understand it. Your preacher couldn't preach it if you needed a PhD. I'm glad he made it so simple that I can preach it and little children can understand it and they can see how much Jesus loved them when he went to the cross and he died for them and how God makes it available to every single person, regardless of your background, regardless of what's been in your life up until this point. He makes it available to every single person, and all we got to do is come and take it, is come and take it. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can't think of a better time, a better day. The last Sunday in 2008, as we approach the new year, as we approach 2009, what a wonderful time to come and get into the family of God. It would please him. It would please him. I think it would also please God. I think, if we were listing the things that God would have on our list of things to do in 2009, if we haven't done them yet, I think on that list, second on that list, would be to get baptized. If you've been saved and never baptized, this would be a good Sunday to come and say, hey, I want to get baptized. And we'd baptize you next week. We don't have the tank filled up this morning, or we do it this morning. But to come and follow Jesus' example. Follow his footsteps. He got baptized as an example to us. And again, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It's a way of testifying that you have received Christ as your Savior. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Buried to that old way of life, raised to that new way of life that we have in Christ Jesus. And if you're here and you've been saved, maybe you've been saved for a long time, but you've never been baptized, why not set a goal that on the first Sunday in 2009, I'm going to be obedient to God, obedient to the Bible, and I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to get baptized. I think another way, again, if we were listing them, 1, 2, 3, and I'm not going to go very much further, but the third one on the list would be to read your Bible more. I'm glad that we had a bunch of people that read their Bible through in 2008, but it pleases God the more we spend time in his Word. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to please God by having your faith grow, the way you need to do that is get in this book and stay in this book. That would be pleasing to God. And I'll just list one more. Number 4, I think it would be pleasing to God to be faithful to church. To be faithful. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. To be as faithful, and I know some of you have to work, and I understand that, but to be as faithful as you can in attending the services of a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing, salvation-preaching church. That would be pleasing to God. And I could go on. There's others that I could list, but I'll stop for now. And again, having resolutions, having goals, I think is a biblical thing. And every single one of us ought to look and take assessment of where we are and where it would be more pleasing to God for us to be. Again, as an individual, a family, a church. And we ought to get a picture in our mind, say, boy, if I could just make this, if I could just make progress, and if I could just get to this point over here, I believe, based on the way the Holy Spirit's talking to me and what I read in this book, that that would be pleasing to God. And I'm going to set a goal. I'm going to set an objective. I'm going to make a resolution that in 2009, I'm going to make progress toward that goal. And again, we'll talk tonight about some things, some practical things about how to keep your resolutions. But my point is this morning, every single one of us need to have something out in front of us that we're striving for. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. People perish. And every single one of us, and our families, and our church needs to have some things out there that we're striving for, that with God's help, we're going to try to achieve. Not to bring glory to ourselves, but to please Him. To please Him. And by the way, just let me remind you that that's what our life ought to be all about, is pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. So think about it. Look at where you are. Look at where we need to go. Pray that God will help us get there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us. And it's a book that's new every day. It's a book that speaks to us, even though it's thousands of years old. It's still as fresh and vibrant and as up to date today as it was when it was written hundreds of years ago. I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would understand that the first thing that they need to do to please you is to ask Him, to receive Him, to make Him their Savior. Father, and you know the hearts of people that are here. You know who needs this and who doesn't. I think most people here this morning know Jesus as their Savior, but there may be one or two that don't. Those I pray for. Those I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them see their sin. You would help them see the penalty for that sin. And you would help them see the cure for it. And that cure is the person of Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary for us. And I pray this morning they would come and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. And Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to all say like Paul, I have not apprehended, I have not arrived. There are things that you're convicting me about that need to change. And I pray, Father, that you would give us the desire to change them, the desire to get better, to please you. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient as you speak to us and to do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.